We're going to turn again to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and let us bow in a word of prayer. Let us still our hearts as we come to this point in our service, and let us ask that the Lord would speak to our hearts and to our souls tonight. Let us pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank Thee for that fountain filled with blood. We thank Thee even as Thy children that we have experienced that cleansing in that blood. We thank Thee for the day and hour that You lifted us up out of the depths of our sin, and You set us upon that rock, Christ Jesus. And oh God, it is our prayer tonight that those even that may be in the meeting that know not Thee, that they too would have that experience. They would be cleansed in the precious blood. Oh, man looks only in the outward appearance. Father, we thank Thee that God sees into the very depths of the heart and of the soul. And Father, we pray tonight that their souls will be cleansed, and that they would be set free from their bondage to sin. And Father, we thank Thee now for another opportunity to meet around Thy precious truth. And we pray for help in the preaching of it. And Father, no man is able in and of himself to pick up Thy word and to preach it. Father, we need Thee. We pray You'll empty of self, of sin, fill me full of the Holy Spirit, I pray. May You know the power of God resting on me. And Father, I pray that Thy word will go forth in all its fullness. And may Christ be exalted tonight. May God be glorified. May man be hidden far behind the cross. And God, we pray that Thy Son would be lifted up. Hear and answer the cries of our hearts. Still our hearts now before Thee, take away those hindrances, those things that would be placed before us, an obstacle to hearing Thy word. And we pray You'll shut us in with Thyself for the remaining moments of this meeting. For it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. When we think of this man of God, this man David, we can think of a man that was used by God in so many different ways. He was given skills in the work of God. Many examples in his life can be used for the children of God. And we can learn from this great man of God. However, there's also a warning here in this life of David tonight. In chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, we didn't read chapter 11, but just the chapter before the one we read tonight, we learn about a serious sin in the life of this man, David. And throughout the narrative in chapter 11, we will learn of David's adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. However, the account doesn't end there, for as is the case with most, if not all, sin, it will always take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It will always take you deeper than you ever anticipated or you ever imagined when you first set out. And as we read down through chapter 11, we learn that this man, David, he not only takes the wife of Uriah the Hittite, but he also commands the murder of that man, Uriah. And what a serious sin that David committed. What a fall by this man of God. What a stumble in the life of this great man used by God Himself. It's not my intention tonight to speak on this particular sin that David committed or its details, but rather the principles that we learn here from this account of this man of God falling into sin. You see, this portion has been recorded for us in Scripture for a purpose. It has been placed in the canon of God's Word so that we might be taught and instructed, and so that we might avoid falling into the same difficulties as this man, David. And you see, this portion of Scripture, it gives us an insight into the great problem of sin. It gives an insight into the great difficulty, the great problem, the great disease that exists in the hearts and in the souls of mankind, that problem of sin. And we want to look tonight at the subject of sin in the life of David. Sin in the life of David. And we've read through part of chapter 12, but we want to look there at verses 13 and 14, and really take those verses as our text, although we'll be referring to different parts of the chapter. But verse 13, it says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, and the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. We see here in the first place tonight the character of David's sin. The character of David's sin. You see, if we want to understand what sin is, if we want to understand what we're dealing with when we speak of sin, and when the Word of God speaks of sin, well then we need to understand here really what this sin was in the life of David. And we see firstly that this sin of David, and indeed all sin, it is serious. It is serious. You see, in today's modern society, sin is treated so casually. It is treated as if it's not really a big deal, nothing to worry about. I came across the following words. It says, man calls it an accident. God calls it an abomination. Man calls it a blunder. God calls it a blindness. Man calls it a defect. God calls it a disease. Man calls it chance. God calls it choice. Man calls it liberty. God calls it lawlessness. Man calls it a trifle. But God calls it a tragedy. And how true that is. And the world has a weak view when it comes to sin. But the reason we see here why David's sin is so serious and why all sin is so serious is found in verse 13. For you read at the very beginning of that verse these words. It says, And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And that's the vital point. His sin was against the Lord. And this sin of David and all sin, it is something that is committed against God. Something that is an offence to the very nature and the very character and the very essence of Almighty God Himself. We could say, you see, that this sin of David, well, it was committed against Uriah. It was involving his wife. And of course, it was Uriah that David commanded to be murdered. And to a certain extent, these sins, they were committed against these people around David. But ultimately, and more importantly, and the point that Scripture is trying to put forth here is that this sin was against the Lord. It was against Almighty God. It was committed against Jehovah Himself. And it's in this truth that we see the seriousness of sin. You see, sin is manifested in many different ways, and there's some sins that perhaps we can see as not as serious or not as important as others. And yet, if we strip it all back and we go to the very crux of the matter, and we deal with really what sin is, well then we will learn that all sin is serious. Why? Because it is committed against God. It is committed against the Creator of all mankind. Committed against the ruler of all time. And these sins of David, they were committed against Jehovah. Yes, there was those around David that were hurt. There were those around this man of God that were affected by sin. There were consequences for those in the life of David, but ultimately it was God that was grieved. Ultimately it was God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's purity that was offended. It was God's justice that was hurt in this act that David committed against God. And believer, we must never lose the sight, the fact of the sight tonight that when we sin, we offend a holy God. We offend a holy God. When we fall into sin, it's an act against our Savior. An act against the one who redeemed us from our sin. But if you're here tonight and you're an unbeliever, well, that sin that is harbored within your soul, that sin that is corrupting, that has corrupted your very nature, that sin that is leading you to a lost eternity, it's serious because it's a sin that has been committed against God. Sin that has been committed against the holy and the just one. That sin is not just a mistake or a blip or a blemish, but it's a most serious problem. Most serious problem indeed. And the devil tonight, he's blinding men and women to the truth that sin is serious. He's blinding men and women to the fact that sin is against a holy God. And if you're here this evening and you're not saved, then you need to take heed to the warning that sin is serious. Scripture makes it clear that we're born in sin. We're shaping in iniquity. Our souls are corrupted and we're heading for that lost eternity. We have that disease as leprosy. And it spreads right down into the depths of our heart and into the depths of our soul, and we're overcome by sin. We're overcome by this terrible disease, and it's an offence to God. And we fall short of His standard, and we cannot be united to Him while we're in our sin, but we must be punished, and His justice must be satisfied. But yet we learn that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He satisfied the justice of God for His people. He's paid the penalty that was due for His children. And it's only by trusting in Him and having your sins cleansed through the precious blood of Christ that the seriousness of this sin can be dealt with tonight in your life. So this sin of David, it is serious, but not only is it serious, but we see here that this sin, it is seen. It is seen. Look at verse 9. It says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight?" And then we learn in verse 12, "For thou didst it secretly." You see, although David, in some respects, he committed these sins secretly. He committed these sins in the private place, and that not everybody knew what David had done, but yet all the while God seeth. All the while God knew all about his sin. All about his corruption. And perhaps at some point in this account and narrative, perhaps David was hoping to get away with what he had done. Perhaps he was hoping to curtail the spread of what had happened. He tried to deal with the problem and he commanded the murder of Uriah. And he at one stage perhaps has thought, well, I've got away with this and I've hid it and nobody has noticed. But yet all the while the Lord knew. The Lord saw the sin of David. We see a similar conclusion to the account of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. What did man do when he fell? He tried to hide from the Lord. He tried to hide in the garden. He tried to hide from his sin. He was ashamed. He knew he had offended God. And friends, we cannot hide our sin from God. We cannot cover it up through any means of our own. Oh yes, we might be able to hide it from friends and family and those we go to church with, but we cannot hide it from God. What do we learn in Jeremiah 16? The verse 17, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways, and they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." And dear unbeliever tonight, don't think you can go through your life hiding your sin from God. Don't think that you can fool Almighty God. Don't think that you can hide it, conceal it from Him, for you can't. For God sees your soul, He sees the depth of corruption and sin that is within your soul tonight. And that sin is leading you to a lost eternity. And the only way that it can be cleansed, as we said, is through Christ. Through the Savior, that one who came to seek and to save the lost. But friends, you cannot hide your sin. You cannot hide your sin. Oh, you might be able to hide it from those around you. You might even be able to try to fool yourself into thinking you have no sin, but yet all the while God seeth. And God knoweth. And here we have the character of this sin of David. It is serious and it is seen. But secondly, tonight we have the consequences of David's sin. You see, sin has a consequence. And for believers tonight, whilst it is true for us to say that that consequence has been dealt with Christ, by Christ at Calvary, and our debt has been paid, the penalty has been paid by Christ, the punishment has been endured by Him. And to that extent, the consequence has been dealt with on our behalf. But yet, in this life, there can be still consequences for our sin. And when we fail the Lord, and when we fall into sin, there can be consequences. You see, we see that here in the life of David. Firstly, there was a personal consequence. Look at verse 14. Says, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." The child that is also born unto thee shall surely die. Here's a most personal consequence to this sin of David. You see, as a result of what David had done, we're told here that his child would die. One commentator said that this would be a visible testimony of God's displeasure at David's sin to all men that would hear of it and know it, and being taken away in such a manner that would be a great affliction to him. And here was the chastisement of God upon David. Now we must state here at the very outset that just because you're going through a trial or a difficulty, just because you're carrying a burden, does not mean that it's because of sin. There are those that will teach that across the world today, that if we have any difficulties in our life at all, well, we mustn't be right with the Lord, but that is not the case at all. But there are times when the Lord will chasten his people. And there are times when we will be under the chastening hand of God. And friends, it's not a pleasant place to be. It's not a place we would desire to be, but the purpose of it is to mould us and to shape us and to teach us. And that is what the Lord is doing here with David. He's chastening him because of his sin. For you tonight, dear unbeliever, there's a most serious personal consequence to your sin. So you cannot enter in to the glory of heaven, into the presence of God with sin in your soul, but your sin must be punished. God is holy and just, and his justice must be satisfied. He cannot excuse your sin, but the penalty must be paid. And if you leave this scene of time tonight without Christ, well then, friend, you'll be told to depart. You'll be cast into the lake of fire, and it's not a place of annihilation. It's not a place that you go and in an instant it's all over. Or it's not a place where the pain and the suffering will ease until eventually you're released. No, the Bible teaches the truth of eternal punishment. Eternal torment for the soul undealt with. It will never cease, it will never end, for that is the penalty due for your sin. It must be paid throughout all eternity. We don't say these things to scare, to cause offense, but friends, there's a consequence to sin. There's a consequence to sin. And you might get through life perhaps thinking, well, there's been no consequence for me. And I've got away with my sin. And I can carry on living as I please, but friend, if you're without Christ, there'll be a consequence in eternity to come. Most serious consequence in eternity to come. Not only is there a personal consequence, but there's a public consequence of sin. Look at verse 14 again. It says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Know what solemn words these are. That this sin of David, what he has done in the previous chapter, that because of that it is said of him here that he's given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Know how solemn that would be tonight if that was said of some believer, that because of what we've done, because of how we've lived our life, because of some sin that we've fallen into, that we've given the enemies of the Lord cause to blaspheme his name all the more. That's what happened here to David. It hurt his testimony. It hurt the testimony of the church. It hurt his witness. It gave occasion to those that already hated God to blaspheme his name all the more. And believer, tonight the world has no time for the gospel. It is no time for the things of God. It is no time for the gospel message. It is no time for his people. No time for Christ. And we should not do anything that would ever cause the world to hate him more, or to reject him more strongly, or to blaspheme his name all the more often. But rather, we're to be soul winners. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to be witnesses for him. We're to be teachers of his saving grace and mercy, and therefore we ought to be living differently from the world. And we ought to be guarding our testimony, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit, especially in these wicked days and ages when the world is out to trip us up. It's out to place that stumbling block for the child of God to seek to cause us to fall into sin. Oh, we must guard our testimony. We must guard the testimony of the church. Must guard the testimony of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never do anything that would cause the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme his name all the more. That is what happened here in the life of David. How solemn that must have been for David. Here's a man of God, a man who no doubt loved the Lord, and yet he fell into sin. And to have those words brought to him by the prophet that he had given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord. Oh, that wouldn't be said about us in this day or in this age. We have the character of this sin, we have the consequence of this sin, but finally, Tonight we have the confessing of David's sin, the confessing of David's sin. Look at what David did in verse 13. It says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." And David, he confesses and repents of his sin. And here, of course, in verse 13, this isn't David's confession to the Lord because he's speaking to the prophet. We've only a short portion of this verse really here given over to his confession. But we do know that David did confess his sin. And we do know that he did truly repent. We do know that it was a true and a sincere confession. For if we turn tonight and turn with me please to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, you might be thinking, well, it doesn't say any of this in the text. And David, well, he doesn't really seem that remorseful. And he's not actually communing with God, but he's communing with the prophet. Well, if we turn to Psalm 51, what we have here is a psalm that was penned by David upon the occasion that we read of in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we have David's confession to the Lord. We have him confessing his sin before him, and we see his brokenness. He's a broken man. We see his sorrow over his sin. Look at Psalm 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him. After he had gone in to Bathsheba, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We could go down through that Psalm 51, and we see the remorse of David. Here's a man who has failed the Lord. He's fallen into sin, but here we see him broken. Here's a man of God pouring out his heart before the Lord, and he's pleading for repentance, and he's pleading for mercy, and he's broken, and he's sorrowing over sin. And believer, when we fall into those times of sin, and we know that we do, we ought to be remorseful. We ought to have that attitude of David. We ought to have that broken, that contrite spirit. We ought to repent of our sin, to confess it to the Lord. We have the reason for the confessing of our sins. We know that well-known verse in 1 John 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you see, the reason why we must confess our sins is very simple. God has commanded us to do so. God has commanded us to repent of our sin. We're to confess that we've sinned against him. We're to confess that we failed him. We're to seek for forgiveness. We're to plead for his mercy. We're to acknowledge that we fall far short of the standard of God. And you too, unbeliever, tonight, every man is commanded to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that general gospel call is going forth across this land. For you to repent of your sin, to confess it before the Lord, and to trust in Christ and his finished work. But not only do we have the reason, but we have the result, the confessing of our sin. 1 John 1, 9 says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then back to our text, 2 Samuel 12 and the verse 13. What was the result of David confessing his sin to the Lord? Well, we read there in verse 13, "And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die." And here's the result. The result is the forgiveness of sin. It's the experience of the mercy, of the grace, the forgiving power of God. You see, David, he committed a very serious, a very solemn sin against the Lord, a sin perhaps we would find it very difficult to forgive our fellow men and women for. And yet he comes before the Lord, and what do we read here? God has cleansed him from his sin. He has put his sin away. He has poured out his mercy and his grace upon him. And what a tremendous promise for the child of God. Yes, we do feel the Lord. And we do fall into sin and we let the Lord down day and daily and we fall far short and we feel it and we know it. But yet what hope there is for us in Christ. You see, there's forgiveness and mercy with the Lord. Our God is a gracious God. And friend, tonight, if you're unsaved, yes, your sin is serious. It's the most serious problem and it's leading you out to that lost eternity in hell. And yet what hope there is for you tonight. What hope there is for you in Christ. You need to come as David did with that broken heart, with that contrite spirit, repenting of your sin and turning from it and turning to Christ. And in His mercy, He'll forgive you. In His grace, He'll cleanse you through His blood and He will set you free from your sin. Now, friend, your soul is a most serious problem. Most serious problem indeed. It's a serious problem that has been committed against the Lord. Committed against God Almighty. And yet what mercy and grace we see in this portion of Scripture. What mercy and grace there is in the one who is faithful and just to forgive you from your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you tonight. You must come to Him just as you are, a weak, poor, earthly sinner. And come with that spirit as David had in Psalm 51, repenting. Confessing your sin before Him and asking Him to cleanse you through His precious blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you will know tonight what it is to have been to Jesus for the cleansing power and to be washed in the blood of the Saviour. I trust the Lord will bless His word to each and every heart tonight. Perhaps we'll turn to our closing hymn, the hymn 232.